start off by just, I'm going to jump right in by saying that being in the ministry does not mean, that's not like Christianity. Christianity is serving the Lord. Christianity is serving God and loving God and seeking God and doing what God says. Ministry is the part of serving God that helps you fulfill your call. God gives us an avenue of ministry to not only operate the needs, for the needs of the city, the needs of the community you live in, for the church, but the ministry itself is something. A lot of times people fall in love with ministry and are not really in love with God. And so I just wanted to jump that. I want to jump in that right away because I've seen that. I've seen people come, and I don't know if you've ever saw the movie The Apostle. Anybody see the movie The Apostle with Robert Duvall? Well, the three of you saw it. Wasn't that an awesome movie? All right. Anyway, there's a young kid that Robert Duvall is a preacher that kind of took a wrong turn and had to mess up, and he takes off on his own. He's on the run, and he finds a little church that's empty, and the pastor's retired, and he's kind of sick, and he says, "Let me take the church and clean it up." So he paints it up and cleans it up, starts preaching. One of them old Holy Ghost preachers. Starts preaching, and people start getting attracted. They started coming. He gets on the radio, and this is one young kid that comes to the church, and he's getting involved, and he's cleaning and sweeping. And it's not till a while later on, almost towards the end, where Robert Duvall, the police actually catch him there because he's on the run. And it's not till towards the end there of that era of that time where actually this young kid actually gets saved. Serving in the ministry, man, every Sunday and helping out and doing stuff, but not even saved yet. A lot of people come to church and get the wrong perspective about what ministry is about. What you do is you fall in love with God. You love God. You fall in love with Him. And from that point on, that's where God calls you into the ministry. And then you fall in love with the ministry. Amen? I'm addicted to the ministry, but I'm first addicted to my God. Amen? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Proverbs 11, 1, and I want to read just one verse, just verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Now, when you read that in other versions, you might see dishonest scales. Even in looser versions, it might even say, instead of it saying a false balance, it might say a dishonest scale. You know, when you stand on the scale, how many of you own a dishonest scale at your house? Not the time to ask it, right? Right after Thanksgiving? Hello, somebody. But you know what I mean? Like, I see that thing on the other bathroom wall, and I look at it, I say, I rebuke that, and I don't want to be near that thing right now. I just finished having Thanksgiving. Come on. For goodness sake. But it's like a false balance is an equivalence of a dishonest scale. In other words, that scale says this much, but you know it's off by 12 pounds. That's a dishonest scale. Some versions even say a cheating scale. And tonight, I want to talk about balance. I'm not going to be long. I'm probably going to only go for like 15 minutes from now. Actually, I'm going to jump right into this real quick. And I have a lot of notes, but I really want to focus on a few things. I want to talk about balancing your life in ministry. Now, balancing a life in ministry, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of content. It would take me 5 classes to give you the full thing, but I'm going to give you the first part, and you'll catch the rest on the next class when we return back to LifeFlow in 2018, the beginning. And here the Bible says, the man of wisdom says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. And really what he's saying is that if you can learn how to live a balanced life, if you can learn how to live a prioritized life, if you can learn how to balance things out, that goes with everything. That goes with your life. Maybe if for some of you that might have high blood pressure, you want to do things, but you know your blood pressure will go up, so you have to take certain pills. You have to eat a certain way. If you're certain salt, you know what happens, right? Then the blood pressure goes up. So you have to learn how to balance that. And I know people that have blood pressure. They say, "I go, you want some salt?" "Well, no, I can't have salt. If I have salt, then I get, you know." Like, oh, okay. So they learn how to balance that. But then also, we have to learn how to balance our lives. My goodness, some of you, man, you work 60 hours a week at your job, and you work 60 hours a week in the ministry. When do you have time for anything else? I'll tell you what. The busiest person, I've done, I didn't want to really do this tonight, but the busiest person still has a lot of time on their hands. When they learn how to prioritize, like my wife talked about. And being balanced is so important. And I want to talk to you a little bit about, when sometimes people have asked me this, how is it that for the past 30 years you've been involved in the ministry, been married for 40 years, you've raised a family, you've helped raise grandchildren, and you seem like you're more busy now than you ever have been. How in the world do you mix it all up? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you love smoothies? Anybody like to drink smoothies? Some of you eat the green ones. Some of you like the orange ones. Oranges are good and sweet, and the green ones are, I don't know what they are, but they try to give me some, and I don't want none of that. I don't look good. It don't smell good. It don't give me none of that. Amen? Give me an orange one, because I know it might be some, like, peach or something good in there. Or carrots. But learning how to balance. Now, the word balance, if you look it up in the dictionary, and I just looked it up again just to make sure I'm right. But if you look up the word balance, see, people say all the time, well, you have to balance your life, balance your ministry, balance your marriage, balance your family life, try to balance. If you look at the word balance is, the dictionary describes it as being, as equilibrium. Anybody know what equilibrium is? Have you ever had your equilibrium off? You're walking and you're like, you can't hear, you're off of balance, your balance is off. So if it's an equilibrium, if you look at it, it actually talks about how it's a counterpart. Like it's against what's natural. And so then I started thinking about that. I thought to myself, wow, we give so much advice to married couples, and we talk about balancing our spiritual life, balancing our family life and our ministry life and your work life and your hobby life and things you like to do. And you know, everybody knows Pastor Danny loves to go hunting. I just say, just give me 5 days a year to go hunting, and I'll promise you I'll work like a beast the rest of the year. So Sister Barbara knows, just give me 5 days. Go hunting. When I come back, I'm like, hunting for souls. Just let me go. I need to be out there. I come back with facial hair, and I come back with a little bit, and it keeps like getting going away and further. That's a different Bible study. But finding a balanced life, man, it seems like we're so influenced by so many different things. So as we look at the word balance, and we find out that it means equilibrium, then there's something a little bit kind of tough that kind of goes against the grain of what we're trying to say. And I think because of I think we've developed this in our mind. It's the only word we know. See, learn how to balance. Well, it's kind of hard to balance if you've got an equilibrium problem. In other words, it almost seems impossible to balance anything. Sister Barbara talked to you about getting your papers in, and you were thinking, I hope my spouse don't hear me. I hope my spouse didn't hear me, because then I got to go home and I got to take care of paperwork. I'm just going to leave the paperwork like that, because she told on me I got paperwork everywhere I know. And I'm getting ready to deal with my office at home, because my office is almost done right here. So I can finally start putting all that other pile in this pile over here and know where everything's at. Hello. Huh? But, you know, when I think about balancing, let me touch marriage for a minute. And I know there's single people here too, but this is important because you might get married one day, and if you don't, that's okay. You're still married to Jesus. But I do know this, that married couples, this issue comes up a lot. And it's real important to know that we tell people, hey, balance your marriage and your ministry and your job. And, you know, some people work 75 hours at their job and don't have much time at marriage or church or ministry. Some people work 75 hours in the ministry and don't have much time at work or at and this goes around. There's so many different points on that. We have to learn how to prioritize. And because we spend a lot of time giving advice to people, you know, everybody's culture is different. We might be in Germany and talking to the pastors there. Might be in Mexico or someplace and giving them. And every culture is different, but everybody has the same items in common. Everybody does. And that's learning how to blend each other. Now, as we know that marriage puts a demand on us to take care of our spouses. Marriage has a demand on itself. When you get married, it's no longer like you must meet the needs of your spouse. When you become a Christian, you must pray. You must go to church. You must read your Bible. You must spend time with the Lord. And then when you get in the ministry, you must. And so you have all these musts and all these things, and all of a sudden the pressure comes up, and this is just like a big old mess. So what we've learned to do, what we have learned to do is we've learned how to put it all in the blender, like a smoothie. Now, if you guys make smoothies, you know what I'm talking about. You don't put olive oil with milk. Right? So you have to learn how to put what's compatible in that smoothie. So if there's something in your life that's not good, you don't put it in the blender. You only put what is compatible in the blender. You put the ministry in the blender. You put your relationship with God in the blender. You put your relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with your you put all these things, your job. You put them all together and you let it blend and blend and blend. And then you take a big drink of it and say, ha, that tastes good. Why does it taste good? Because you know you got it all together. Nobody else knows how you got together, but you got it all together. See, like I said, it means equilibrium, balance does. And it really, it's a state of rest or balance through equality of counteracting forces. So if Sister Barbara's a counteracting force and I'm a counteracting force, then we're like this, countering. Have you ever put two magnets together? What happens? Right? So if we're a counteracting force, then how in the world can you blend that? How can you balance that? You can't. And I don't believe God put us together to be, I believe he put it together. The Bible says for us to be one. So then we ought to use then, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but we ought to use instead of the word balance, we ought to use the word blend. I know we've been taught that all of our lives. Every book you've read is about balance. But we need to blend our lives rather than try to balance them because we're counteracting forces. She's going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going over here, over there. We're here, back and forth. And we just came and all we do is we put the blender on. And we're good. We have to. She can be in any given country, and I can be in any state or anywhere at one time. We're all over the place doing this, and we got priorities. We got Christmas coming, and we got this going on, and we got that going on. We got kids, we got grandkids, we got a new grandkid. Americana's only, she's three, but she's still new to us, and we got all these things balancing. How do you balance six grandkids? I don't know. We just put them all in the blender. All of them. We love them all the same. Do you love him more than you love me? No, we love you all the same. How do you do that? I don't know. We put it in the blender. It's about blending. So apparently balance is equilibrium, but equilibrium is not balance. As this was not particularly helpful, as I checked this out, I began to concentrate on the rest of the quote. Counteracting forces leaped off the page. Now that began to bother me a little bit and say, wait a minute. I've been teaching balance all these years. How in the world am I going to change this? How in the world did God ordain marriage and ministry and everything we do in our life and call all of us to knowing that we're going to counteract with each other? No, I don't believe that at all. Somehow we seem to have developed a mentality that at least suggests this may be what we believe, but it's not what we believe because we know that we can never, ever, ever accomplish anything if we're not together. So as you chew on the word balance, you might gag a little bit because you realize, wait a minute, no wonder we keep on butting heads. No wonder we keep on, because we're trying to do something that really is not physically or even emotionally capable of doing. We've got to learn how to blend together because when you try to balance, you do this. What does God say about balance? Uneven balances? So let me make a suggestion. From now on, when you're talking to each other, you and your spouse, when you're talking about ministry and church, and you're talking about work, and you're talking about your family time and all that stuff, talk, you know what, we got to have a blending meeting. I literally maybe even bring the blender out and just press it. Maybe that's a good time to make chili or something like that. You just put it on for a long time because the meeting might go long. Sometimes Sister Barbara has that thing on during the game and it's like, zzzz. And I'm like, babe, is it going to ever come off? She goes, oh, I got to blend the chili all the way down. I'm like, all right. So I guess we can say that trying to balance marriage and ministry can be counteracting forces, but we need to make smoothies. Amen? So I wanted to get that out of the way real quick. I think blending sounds a lot better. I think about Abraham and Sarah. I think about the way they had to learn how to blend their weight. I think about people like Akil and Priscilla who were so addicted to the ministry. They established the very first early church. They helped in the establishment of the early church. How'd they do that? They had no models. There was no books. There was no internet. There was nobody to read from. There was nobody to study from. They had to start it off in the beginning. How'd they do it? The Bible says they were addicted to the ministry. And I just want to break down a few moments about ministry life. Sister Barbara and I, we've learned how to blend so much that if it's our anniversary on the 8th of July, there's a great chance that we will not be celebrating on the 8th of July if we're over there at the fireworks stand trying to turn in stuff. Or if we're at World Conference or at gang convention, where somebody's, we're still going to look each other in the eyes. We're still going to go out at the In-N-Out that night or something like that. But then you know what? On the 11th or the 14th or whatever day we did, I'll guarantee you right now we might be up at Ruth Chris having a steak, you know, with a rose and be romantic. But we've learned how to blend it. That's where the blending comes in because, man, For the life of me, for being in the ministry 30 years, there's no way that you can make every single thing work. So you have to learn how to blend things. People ask me all the time, how do you do it? I said, I just learned how to blend. There's no way I could do it. I'm not this superhuman, super pastor that knows how to do it. And my advice goes to anybody. Those of you that are in the home right now, you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to get out of the home? I got the stress of I'm going to have to raise children. I haven't done that in a while, but I'm ready to do it, but I haven't done it. How am I going to get a job and work? And then they want me to be at church. They're telling me, come and plug into the church, be here on Wednesdays and be here on Sundays. Right now it's easy because I'm in the home. And I can come every day. I'll be here day and night, every day. But then how am I going to do it? How do they do it? Well, if you ask anybody, any of the couples here, any of the power couples in our church that have been here any long at the time, any of the single men and women that have been here any long at the time, you just ask them and they'll tell you, we've learned how to blend our lives. We learn how to carry a little bag when I get out of work at 6 o'clock, carry a little bag and a little small bag in my car where I come to the church and I change and I come right from work with some chicken nuggets in my hand and a few fries and a soda or something like that or whatever's healthy. Maybe you go have a salad or maybe a smoothie salad. I don't know. And you come and you get there and you come in there and you get ready like that and all of a sudden you appear and you're like Wonder Woman or like Superman and you're just at my post. Happy. Welcome. It's good to have you. First time? Awesome. I'm so glad you're here. Feet hurt. Your brain hurts. You haven't even talked to your husband all day long, sister, or your brother. You haven't talked to your wife all day long. You see each other. She's over there signing up people for something. You're standing over here helping usher or whatever you're doing, and you're there doing it like that, and you just look at each other and say, you know what? By about 8:15 or 8:30, depending on who's preaching tonight, we're going to be blending over at the local pizza joint. Or we're going to be laying at home, sitting there, you know, watching that program you like to watch. Right now I'm into The Good Doctor. That little kid is just like something, he's a phenomenon. I'm mesmerized by this kid who has autism and he's a doctor. And I love why, I can't watch it when I want to watch it. Because there's no way I could, because I have to blend. So I have to fit in a half hour show whenever I can fit it in. But don't ever tell me you don't have time if you binged on Netflix. Don't ever tell me, well, I don't got time for nothing if you've watched the whole House of Cards. I'm gonna tell on you right now. If you watched all of Breaking Bad, that was a lot of episodes. How in the world did you find out to do ministry? You know what you did? You found a way to sneak in time to get a couple of half hours here and a half hours there, and you still did your ministry. You still went to work. You didn't miss work. You were at work every single day. No sick leave, you were on it, but you still snuck in. Why? Because you have learned the art of juggling, the art of the masterful capacity to be able to juggle priorities and time. You may be tired, but you learn how to do that. I'm serious. This is how we have existed for so many years still. And I watch our founders and I watch the way they do ministry. I watch how they move. They go from one country to another, from this place to that place, from that country to that country. And I'm thinking, everybody, oh, how cool that must be to do that. But Pastor Sonny is approaching 80. Been doing this 50-some years. You tell me, if you're tired, imagine him. But it doesn't. It seems like he doesn't get tired. I know he does, but it seems like he don't get tired. And why? Let me tell you why. Because Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie have learned the art of blending their family. Listen, they had Thanksgiving dinner this past Saturday. I think it was Saturday or Monday, one of those days in San Jose. All of their family, all the Argonzoni family, all, you know, Pastor Sonny Jr., all of them. They all the kids, all the grandkids, they all went to their house and they shared Thanksgiving dinner. And then, boom, he's out. He's going to Amsterdam. You know what I mean? It's like they know they're not going to be on Thanksgiving Day. And so they've already learned how to blend things. And if you could personalize how to blend your life in ministry, in your life in your marriage, your life with your kids, your life at your job. Some of you got some demanding bosses. I know some of your bosses. One of them right there. Where's Devin? Devin, I know your boss. He's demanding. He wants that work put out there. But I know you probably talk to your boss and say, boss, I've got announcements tonight. I got to be at church on Wednesday night. I got to be there early for prayer. And your boss probably says, you're such a good employee that you can be gone early if you need to. Well, I just threw the boss on Front Street, didn't I? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. That was in my notes. But I'm just saying, some of you have, you know, there's demand on at your job during the day, stress all day long. And then you've got a commitment to teach. So you're trying to figure out how I'm going to study this couple of days so I can make sure and teach at that Bible study or teach at that life group or teach at that discipleship or whatever you're doing. And you just want to do the best you can. So you figure it out. You get up a little earlier. You know, when we go hunting, we get up at 4 o'clock. I don't normally get up at 4 o'clock. I think that's a sin. I mean, like, just to get up for nothing. Now, if you have a reason to get up, we're going to work by 5:30. If you got to get by 6 o'clock, get up at 4 so you can pray and have coffee and, you know, whatever, and eat a little something and then get to work and be in traffic, whatever. But if you're just getting up for 4 just to get up for, I don't know why I get up. I don't have nothing to do. That's wrong. Something's wrong with that. Sleep a little bit, you know? We get up at 4 o'clock, man. We're out there and we hump those hills and we're walking those hills everywhere. And man, I was putting like 12,000 steps on my watch. I had purpose for getting up, getting out there, man. Right now I get up in the morning and I you know where my office is, wherever I can put my computer. I can't wait to move in that office. I'm going to live in there pretty much. And I got to get a blankie and everything inside so I can take a nap. Because you know why? There's sometimes if I have my office here and we got something and I'm here at 5 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, and I don't have to go all the way to the west side. I can stay here because I have a 6 o'clock meeting. Then I can just sit there and take a little nap, or I can read a book or whatever in my office. And so I've learned I'm going to blend that. And I've done that before. That's the way I used to do things. And so I wanted to talk about not so much balance, the word balance, but blending. Because that's the word we use, balance, in ministry. The life in ministry is so amazing when we learn how to prioritize time, when we learn how to blend everything that we have, our busy, crazy lives, man, the demands of this life. You know, I figure our lives are like a leaf. You know, the leaves are falling off, right? But picture a big river flowing past us. Our lives are like a leaf. It falls into a river. And you got to catch it. You got to catch it. It's just a crazy constant. Our lives are on the grind, on the constant. I ask my daughters, how in the world do you drive to an hour and a half of traffic every day in the morning and every day in the night? I said, we just get used to it. We don't fight it. I asked them, how in the world, anybody here from California, you know what I'm talking about. You just have to get used to it. We don't have that problem here. I know you think you do. But if you go and live in California, just go hang in California for a week, and you then you come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I mean, I was complaining before I went to World Conference. Man, goodness, this traffic. What's going on, Barb? And I was getting upset. And then she goes, wait, we're going to California next week, babe. And I go, you better get used to that. So we get over there, and we're like, on the 110, I'm like, oh, my God. It's like, how long have we been? A half hour. Just crawling and crawling and crawling. And I'm not one to be like real, oh, this is awesome. I love, look at all the buildings. I'm like, I want to get to where I need to go. You know? And I don't know how they get used to it. You know why? Because they put it in the blender. It's part of the job, part of the family, picking up the baby, doing, it's all part of the blender. And if you can learn, I obviously can't give you everything in 30 years of knowledge, but this is the one thing I believe the Lord wanted me to give you. If you can learn how to blend your marriage, your ministry, your job, your family, your church, your hobbies, the things you like to do, you will always have time for fishing. You will always have time to serve in the church. You will always have time to work. You will always, but you've got to learn how to manage your life. Because even managing is even a better word than balancing and even blending, because it's all about managing your life. Too many people have come and gone. Joe, how many people have come and said, I want to do ministry. Yo quiero el ministerio. And they're involved, and all of a sudden they're like, they walk with Joe for a little while, and they're like, it's too much. Oh, really? You want to be in the prison ministry, huh? Come follow me. This prison, that prison, this prison, that prison. Where everybody else is at Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to learn how to blend. That's the only reason. There's no difference. We're not different than anybody else. We just learn how to blend. Amen? So, I've got so much more. I've got hours and hours of ministry life stuff. But if I can leave you with one thing, I leave you with this. Leave you with this, that you would learn how to fall in love. See, I love my family. I love God. I love Barb. I love hunting. I love basketball. We're going into basketball season. My grandson today won a Thanksgiving tournament today. They won four games, and they averaged 70 points a game, and the other teams averaged like maybe 12 to 18 points a game. They annihilated some of the today was a great team, and they beat them bad. I love just sitting there watching it. I made a way to blend today. My daughter's in from out of town. All the family got together right after church. I talked to a lot of people out here, went to the restaurant, got out the restaurant, changed, went into the bathroom, did the Superman act, put my New Mexico dog shirt on, ran over there, got there to the game. It just started where they're like, excited to watch it. Went home, prayed, studied, get a hold of this, getting ready for this right here now. And you know what I'm doing now? I'm going to dinner with the rest of the family right after this. You know why? Because we have learned how to say, Pastor, you're exhausting me. That's right. I preached that this morning. I gave a lot of energy today. But you know what? I love what I do so much that it moves me past my tiredness. I just learn how to balance. As long as I eat me a little food, as long as I have me a cup of breakfast tea or something like that, I'm good. I'm good. Just send me on the mission. Amen. And so I want to encourage you today to fall in back in love with what you do. That your job, you should love your job. If you don't love your job, get another job. You should love your ministry. But you can't get another ministry. God already gave you this. You got to love God. Fall back in love with God. Reconnect with Him. Amen. Stand to your feet. Putting life, I should have titled this, Putting Your Life in the Blender. Personal time with God, personal time with your spouse and your family, your church, your family. Appropriating your time and your money and your talents and everything can often be overwhelming. That's why God says that that false balance, that dishonest scale, He can't deal with that. He says, you have to learn how. You have to learn how to blend your life together. A whole bunch of stuff in your plate, guys. A whole bunch of stuff coming at you all the time. But it's those very things that build you. build your marriage. If you take notice of what the needs are in your marriage, you'll never have issues in your marriage. But if you just do ministry, or all you do is pray, and you never do any ministry, or if all you do is work, and never go to church, or all you do is go to church and never work, then you're out of that balance. You're out of that blend. You're out of that. God is saying, learn how to appropriate. Get your stuff together. Get things in line. And learn how to juggle. Be a juggler. Amen? Bow your heads. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know there's men and women here, God, that have, many of them have mastered the art of juggling their time, their talents, everything. But there are some here tonight, God, that are overwhelmed in their life. The ministry seems to have, it's like it's overwhelming, or their job is just killing them, Lord. It's just tough. Or possibly even, God, it seems like there's not enough time for the family. Or Father, maybe there's the counterbalance. Maybe that's all we want to do is just do those things. And then we forsake our ministry or forsake the calling. Lord, I believe that you want us to blend our lives like a smoothie. I believe you want us to blend, put everything we love into one and to blend it and say, Lord, I want to drink this smoothie. I want to drink this with you, the cup you have given me as you give it to me. And I want to learn how to be that man, that woman, be that person, be that married couple that doesn't let the marriage lack, doesn't let the ministry lack. It doesn't even blend in all that we do. We love you. We give you praise. I pray for everybody here tonight. Father, I pray, God, as we leave from this place this evening, that we would leave together with wisdom, with an anointing, God, to blend. And then, Lord, we would practice it until we get good at it. We love you and we give you praise. And we just pray for this whole day. Thank you for what you did all day Sunday. It's been good, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a good hand tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.